Welcome to 20 Minutes and Two Beers In. I'm JD.
Hey, everybody. This is Bobby.
And season four, this is our season opener, episode 157 overall, but season four, episode one.
How has the internet allowed us still to be on?
I know, right? We ignore the letters that come in.
The internet sends us letters. It's
kind of creepy, but they do snail mail.
Yeah, very odd for them. You would think they'd email the podcast.
No. Yeah. Maybe I am me, but no. It's
nothing like that.
But we're excited to be here for season four. We've got a lot to talk about, especially with the NFL games coming up.
Yeah, and we got a great special guest with us this week, Nick Ferguson, he's a 10-year NFL vet joining the show. As everybody who's a listener to this show knows, I'm a diehard Denver Broncos fan, so I loved him when he was with the Broncos. I was really excited to get his take on the playoffs. He talks both games, gives us some real good stuff.
Yeah, really inside stuff that you may not hear anywhere else. I'll definitely say that with how matchups go and reading two of the best quarterbacks in NFL history that'll be squaring off this week. So very excited for that interview. We've got wonderful music picked out.
And JD, for those who are just tuning in, who are listening to us for the first time ever, I want to give us our Twitter handle. You can follow us on Twitter. Two Beers In is our Twitter handle. You can also email the show, 20minutes2beersin@gmail.com.
Yes.
And JD, we always talk beer on this show.
We do talk beer. Yes, we do.
During the interview, I was drinking. This was a friend of mine gave this to me. It's a Sheboygan, Wisconsin beer. Rebel Kent the First from Three Sheeps Brewing Company. They're apparently coming into Chicago pretty soon, and good for them because this is a great amber ale. This was a really delicious beer. So if you see Three Sheeps Brewing Company in stores, check out the Rebel Kent. It's an amber ale. Really goes down smooth. And for the second part of our show, JD, I'm going to be drinking a 1554 by New Belgium, which
looks
is a black lager.
It looks great.
What are you drinking this week, JD?
I am drinking, it's very high quality, H2O.
H2O?
Yeah. Yeah, and I commented, I think this may be the first or second time in 157 episodes that I haven't had a beer during the show.
You did drink something special, though, during the interview. What were you drinking during our interview?
Oh, a Christmas soda that Bobby brought over on New Year's.
Yeah.
I have water, but fear not, I've got hydrocodone. I had surgery a week ago today as we're recording.
You're playing
this.
Hurt right now?
I'm definitely playing hurt, but didn't want to miss the first episode. So very excited to be here. I'll try to keep the ice bag quiet as it's on my shoulder, but they're able to fix me and I'll be right as rain come golf season. So I'm very excited about that.
Well, season four, episode one, JD, give us our beer devotional for today.
Our beer devotional, it's a Green Lakes Organic Ale. This is out of the Beer Devotional book. The quote, "No animal ever invented anything as bad as drunkenness or as good as drink." but the brew tip I thought was interesting when talking about this Green Lakes Organic Ale. The brew tip is, did you know that both clear and green glass do not protect your beer from harmful ultraviolet rays? Both sunlight and fluorescent light can damage the taste of your beer. To avoid this, use only brown glass or ceramic bottles. Kegging your beer will also protect it, though it will be much harder to bring your home brew to your parties in a keg.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, before we go into the interview, JD, I want to play some music that I found this past week. This is actually an older release. By older, I mean 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's not that old, but a band I really kind of am digging right now. The band is called American Aquarium, and this is the title track off their album Burn, Flicker, Die. So give this a listen, and when we come back, Nick Ferguson.
In the bathroom stall, red-headed women and alcohol. Said ain't so, said ain't last call. A whiskey on the rocks and Adderall. A whiskey on the rocks. We're
Lucky to have Nick Ferguson with us this week to talk NFL. He was in the NFL for 10 seasons playing with the Jets, the Broncos, and the Texans. He's also the host of the Secondary Perspectives podcast. You can follow him at NickFerguson_25 on Twitter. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, Nick, let's dive right into the matchups this week. I want to start with Seattle and the 49ers. One of the things that makes this matchup so interesting is you got two quarterbacks who can run in this matchup, whereas the other one, you got quarterbacks who are just going to be in the pocket. Now, with your history as a defensive back, how different is that preparing for a quarterback you know can take off at any second?
You know what? I played against Michael Vick when he first came into the league, and this is when he was playing for the Atlanta Falcons. And what makes it a little more difficult to play against a mobile quarterback opposed to that statue-esque quarterback, that Joe Montana, John Elway, Jim Kelly type of guy,
yeah,
is the fact that he can move the pocket. And when coverage starts to break down, and this is what they teach all the time, they always tell you plaster. And basically what plaster means that you stay on your coverage once the quarterback breaks the pocket. But what happens is the receivers that are deep down the field, they come back to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The receivers that are running shallow routes, they go deep. So you have to keep your eyes on your target. And one thing about those mobile quarterbacks, once they break outside and contain, even though the defensive coordinator has preached all week, you do your job. You see guys flying down, trying to make plays on that quarterback. And that's one thing where Colin Kaepernick or Russell Wilson can hurt you. Their eyes are always downfield. That's why it's really important for you to make sure you stay solid on the edge, whether you run a 3-4 or 4-3. Those guys have to be solid, and you always hear them preach that. Keep the quarterback in the pocket, because most quarterbacks, if you're talking about putting them on the long field,
mm-hmm,
and we saw that happen with the Denver Broncos when they faced Phillip Rivers. When you keep a guy in the pocket, I mean, he now has to throw from that pocket, and that pocket is going to get real money, and they're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between defending a running quarterback and a quarterback that just stays in the pocket. And for a defense, that's easy. Just a guy that stands in the pocket and can't run. Hey, listen, we know all we got to do is get him off his launch point, and he's going to make a mistake.
Sure.
And that's the biggest difference.
Do you think there's a concern on Seattle's part? They allowed over 100 yards rushing. One guy at 144 yards receiving last week. Is there a worry defensively for the Seahawks?
Well, let me start by saying this, and I don't know how you guys feel about it, but you often hear this term, these two phrases, elite quarterback and the NFL being the passing league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, during a regular season, that sounds great, being able to advance the ball vertically in a passing game. But once you get to the postseason, once you get down to these four teams, these two teams, the vertical passing game goes out the window. You have to be able to run the ball. And what we've seen of these four teams, they do an excellent job running the ball. I was really impressed, and I was shocked when I saw LeGarrette Blount rush for as many yards as rush. And you have by far a Hall of Fame quarterback on your team in Tom Brady, and you're running the ball. That tells you right there Bill Belichick understands what getting to the playoffs and winning a Super Bowl is about. Not just passing, but you have to be able to run the ball, because now that gives you, and it sets up, you know, play action. So when you look at the matchup between these teams, you know, I love it. And I think this is the best matchup, best four teams that we've seen in the NFL, NFC, and AFC championship game in a long time.
And with Seattle, you have Marshawn Lynch, who's coming into this game where he had a great playoff game against the Saints. But you look at what he did versus the 49ers earlier this year, and both games he was kind of pedestrian. Are you looking at him as one of those guys then that has to absolutely step up?
Well, definitely. Once again, the run game and defense is how you get into the Super Bowl. And when you look at the four teams as a whole, there's only two teams that have like the best defense in the league, not conference, in the league, period. And that's both Seattle and San Francisco.
Yeah.
So with both of these teams, we saw them split during the regular season, you know, one for one. But you have to be able to run the ball. And you know, we're talking about Marshawn Lynch, and we know what he can do. And I had a chance to play against him when he played for the Buffalo Bills. And I remember going into that game, John Lynch, He had one thing to say, and he had one thing to say about one person. He said, this guy gets stronger as the game goes on. So what we have to do, we have to tag him and put hats on him so we can wear him down. But what we've seen him do to opposing defenses is the opposite. He wears them down.
Yeah.
And that plays, you know, helps Russell Wilson out in the offense, move the chains.
Going back to the time back when you played, everybody tries to say, when you prepare for a game like this, you try to do it like every other week. That's impossible, isn't it?
Well, yeah. You know, the NFL is a week-to-week thing. You know, you have 16 weeks. Each game is different. Each opponent is different. The schemes are different. They change depending on, you know, who your opponents are. Those that fail to make the proper adjustments before the game, during halftime, usually find themselves on the loss column. But it is an ever-evolving game, and you have to know how to adjust to what your opponent is doing to you. That's why I think the whole idea of having two mobile quarterbacks, you know, playing against one another, I think it bodes well, and I think that's the future, whether people want to admit it or not, that the NFL is leaning towards. No more of these five-step, seven-step quarterbacks. You got to have a guy that can slide and move in the pocket, or he's going to get hurt.
You know, another one of the dynamic guys that I'm looking forward to watching in this game is Richard Sherman. I love watching him play, and I really love watching him trash talk out there. Is he the best trash talker in the league right now, you think?
The best trash talker. You know what? I would have to say he is, and you know, I was never a trash talker, and I played with a lot of great defensive guys, and none of those guys were trash talkers. And one in particular, you know, Champ Bailey.
Yeah.
You know, he just goes out there and he just gets it done. But what we're seeing right now, you know, once again, going back to that term, the passing league, you have to have those corners that can match up physically, but also that can talk a good game. And Richard Sherman, he can do that because now he can get into a guy's head, get him so frustrated that now he loses his focus. If he has to run a timing route, it's a yard too short or too shallow or too deep, and that guy is now dropping balls.
Yeah.
So without even jamming him at the line, now you're playing that mental game the same way that Muhammad Ali used to play that mental game when he boxed. It's not – you don't just beat a man physically. You demoralize him mentally, and that's what Richard Sherman is, and that's his game.
Who was one guy when you were playing that whenever you were going up against him, you knew this guy's going to talk all day? That's just what he's going to do.
Well, Philip Rivers. You know, that's who he is. And
yeah.
You know what? With Philip Rivers, and I like that because, you know, I faced Brett Favre before he left the league and Tom Brady, the fiery guys, you know, like to talk trash to the defender. But those guys were able to maintain their focus. But what happens with Philip is, you know, he loses focus. He gets so fixated on, I'm going to talk trash to you, that he goes back to the huddle and his execution is not the same. If you go back to that Thursday night game when they beat Denver on the short week, he was jarring. I mean, really, really talking. Now, fast forward to the game that they played this past Sunday, he wasn't doing a lot of talking. You know, he started out, there's a still shot of him leaving, heading to the locker room from halftime, and he's talking. And I said, right there, I knew what was going to happen. He's not concentrating on the game.
Right.
He's concentrating on trash talk. And if you look at majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL that have had success, they have one thing in common. They will focus on one thing and one thing only, winning the ball game. So that's why Philip Rivers probably would never, you know, win a major game because he's focused too much on talking trash. You just go out there and you get it done.
Looking, one more thing on this matchup, the Seattle 49er matchup, and a lot of teams are utilizing a big physical tight end like they've never done before, and Vernon Davis is one of those guys who's got a lot of attention and has had quite a bit of success. How tough is it to defend that type of weapon?
It is tough because so long are those big, huge tight ends like, you know, Mark Bavaro. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get mm-hmm. those big guys anymore. You get these guys now, you get these former basketball players because they're used to boxing defenders out, long arms, they can jump high, and they kind of these hybrid guys. So that's where the game is moving to, and it's forcing the defense to adjust. Now you have to have athletic safeties, no more box safeties. You have guys, you need to have guys that can cover, because if I'm 40, I'm the 49ers, and I am Greg Roman, I would never put Vernon Davis in the dirt. I would stand him up every single time. I would motion him out. I would get him in bunch formations. I would get him in the backfield and motion him out to create those matchups. I would never put his hand in the dirt and make it easier for a Seattle defender. Yeah. And last week we saw the game plan that Pete Carroll had, said, well, here's Jimmy Graham. So we're going to take him out of the offense. Jimmy Graham didn't get a catch until the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So the same philosophy they might have for Vernon Davis. But one thing about Vernon Davis, different from Jimmy Graham, this guy's aggressive. He wants the ball. And when you put the ball in his hand, he's thinking score, score, and score all day. So, you know, I want to see how Pete Carroll and the defense is going to match up with Vernon Davis, but I'll flex him out and force one of those linebackers or Seattle to get into the sub package, and then now he can go on top on them.
Nice. Well, switching over to the Denver-New England matchup now, you've gotten, in your career, prepped for playing both these quarterbacks. Is there any difference when you were playing any difference in your preparation for these guys?
Yeah, there were some differences between the two because, one, you know, the personnel was a little different with each guy. I would say that Peyton always had better wide receivers, mm-hmm. so you had to prepare for that. And then also, Peyton used to go through a lot of gyrations and calls and just barking out things, and all he was doing is trying to get you to adjust and get you in a perfect defense that would allow him to execute. And one thing in my playing years with Peyton, you had to watch the play clock. On the field, there's two play clocks, one behind the offense and one behind the defense. And every quarterback, when they come out, the first thing they're going to start off looking at are the safeties. And I can tell you what, one of those safeties, they're going to get too antsy and they're going to give the coverage away. So Peyton knows right away where to go to the ball. Because if you have two safeties that's cover two, you know, that's a basic Tampa two, mm-hmm. now they know, well, we can't go on top. The middle is open, but now we can run the ball and throw checkdowns. But now you have one single high safety, and anytime a quarterback sees one safety in the middle, he knows the middle is closed. So the ball is going outside. So as a corner, you have to worry about the double moves. So once again, and to answer your question in a little more in depth, You plan for Brady and Peyton two totally different ways. Brady is, I would say, he's more calm than Peyton. Peyton is a little cerebral, and that's the name and the title that he's been given. But his problem is he is too cerebral. He has sometimes he overthinks the situation. And if you ever see him throw an interception or his third down, he doesn't make a completion. Watch him on the sideline. Watch when the camera goes to him. There's a little frustration that sets in when he's looking at those film. You know, Tom Brady, he's a feisty dude. He's going to go over there. He's going to get in his guys' faces. He's going to yell, scream, swear, and grab guys. That's not Peyton. Mm-hmm. So two, you're dealing with two different mentalities, but two great quarterbacks.
Are you sick of the Omaha talk? I mean, I swear, you turn any sports talk – talking about the Omaha part of the Audible, that's been around forever. It baffles me that it's now something to talk about.
Well, you got to understand, we're getting to the point of the season where everything is a huge storyline. If Peyton Manning stubbed his toe, that's going to make national news. Because right now, everyone's looking for a story, something to hang their hat on to the game. Because, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks before the game. It's going to be several hours of coverage. And you got to find something to talk about. The Omaha, why are we even talking about it? I mean, when he was with the Colts, he had this, used to do the same thing. Monday, Tuesday. So Monday meant on one, mm-hmm. Tuesday meant on two, right? And then it was Apple, 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 or Navajo, Navajo. So it's just like a lot of this jargon really doesn't mean anything. is just to make the defense
yeah.
get into the perfect alignment that would allow him to execute. But if they just steadfast, hold, look at the clock behind Peyton Manning, he's going to give you something. And don't give him the deep ball. He wants the deep ball. Let him check down all day. You just rally and tackle. So I don't get this whole Omaha thing. It just it doesn't even make any sense.
No, it baffles me. It's been around the game forever.
Well, the Broncos had a big hit to them when Chris Harris Jr. went down last week.
Yes.
And they signed Marquise Cole this week. And people are making a lot out of the fact that he was with the Patriots before coming over to the Broncos. Do you think, is there actually any intel that he's actually giving the Broncos, or is this just a move to add depth to the team?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, but I'll tell you, there's always a chess match that takes place in the NFL. And I've seen it take place where we were with the Jets, and there might have been a guy who was in training camp with the Patriots. They're bringing him in for that week, squeezing for all the information, and by that next Tuesday, he's gone.
Yeah.
So to bring in a guy this close to the game and the fact that you're playing the Patriots, maybe he might know something. And you got to think about it. It all depends on who the guy is that you're bringing in. How much did he study? What can he tell you about their defensive scheme? What can he tell you about the offense? So sometimes it is a toss-up, but you have to be careful what guy you bring in. And he might just give you some nuggets that you can use. But at this point, things have changed. They've changed calls. Once again, like I told you earlier, calls have changed based on an opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Manning does it himself. So you could think Bill Belichick is going to change some things, and so would Josh McDaniels. So I don't know how much this guy will be able to give them to make them successful. It's all about execution at this point. Either you execute and you move on, or you don't execute and you have a long offseason.
So, Nick, who's going to be filling in, do you think, for the Broncos at left cornerback? Is Champ going to be able to play that, or are they going to keep him at nickel? Are they going to try Tony Carter, who's kind of been a forgotten guy? Is Webster going to come back to that spot? Who do you think the Broncos have as the next man up there?
Well, you know what? When you look at the situation, you have to go with, by far, your best corner, even though he's been in the league for a long time, and that's Champ Bailey. Last week, you probably wanted to use him in the slot versus a guy like Antonio Gates, but this week, no, you want to get him out of the slot. Maybe you try Tony Carter. You put Tony Carter in there for a bit, and if he's not holding up, then you go to Champ. Put him in the slot. But the Webster kid, I think Kayvon Webster, at some point they're going to move him to safety because
yeah.
he's a better tackler than he is a cover guy. So that would better suit him in the long run if he were to move to safety. But, I'm not a betting man. I don't gamble on anything. But if I had to, I would say that Jack Del Rio would have to put Champ Bailey outside, unless he's coming up with a special type of blitz package where you're going to see Shin Champ off the edge.
Mm-hmm.
I say give Tony Carter a shot. And it's kind of disappointing because Tony Carter played well last year.
Oh, he was great.
I mean, yeah, he came up big for them, some interceptions, picking up some loose balls and fumbles. So, how he ended up in the doghouse, really don't know. But this is where depth comes in on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And every team is looking at this particular point to find depth. Who can we place? One person I say, well, they need to make sure he doesn't see the field, and that's Quentin Jammer.
Oh, man. He was exposed last week, wasn't he?
Exposed? Man, that's not even a word. I mean, it just seemed like, and you got to think about it. Here's a guy that they had in the locker room for years who they drafted. So they know him inside and out. And how wild was it? Soon as Chris Harris gets injured, where does Phillip Rivers go with the ball?
Yep.
Quentin Jammer. He's like, Quentin Jammer, Quentin Jammer, Quentin Jammer. I'm like, come on. Could somebody give him some help?
Could
he just grab the guy and just pull him to the ground? But, yeah, it's easy in the playoffs. You can go from hero to GOAT. And we saw last year when Raheem Moore, became the GOAT really fast, and he had to deal with the entire offseason. But, Quentin Jammer, great guy. I think he should just move the safety. Just forget corner.
Yeah.
Just move the safety. But he is a casualty if you put him out there. And Brady will find him.
We talk a lot about quarterbacks in this matchup, and obviously you've got two of the best ever. But I think to me, looking at this matchup, what intrigues me is the ground game of both teams. If you look at Moreno, he had, 224 yards in the last matchup.
Yeah.
Right. And then that 1-2 punch that the Patriots have. I mean, I really think that's a key to this game, don't you?
Yeah, like I said before, and I will always say this, it's you have to be able to run the ball in January and February, because you have to figure that the winter condition is going to change. And it's like last week, there was a gust of wind that really troubled both quarterbacks, both Phillip Rivers and Peyton Manning. So when you can turn around and you can hand the ball off and the guy can get you 2.5 to 3.5 yards to carry and keep you ahead of the chains, that's great. I'll take that all day, every day, especially in altitude. But I think the one thing, especially, you know, we just talked about Chris Harris and the fact that his production is going to be sorely missed. It has to be a deep concern for both the Broncos organization and the fans alike to watch the Patriots run the ball and their front line move guys off the spot, creating space so LeGarrette Blount can get downhill and smash in the secondary. So that is really scary. That's really scary. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that right now.
Well, one more question before we get your prediction. Which of these teams that are left do you wish you were on, Nick?
Well, man, I would say there are two teams, and here's why.
Okay.
The first team, obviously, is Denver.
Yeah.
I played majority of my career, whether it was a Jet, Texan, or Bronco, against Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And having the ability to play alongside him, and more importantly, pick his brain more as a teammate opposed to an opponent to see what he's looking at. You know, what is he really looking at as a safety? Because we have to play that game with him. We have to be that quarterback in the secondary. Well, whatever he's thinking, get the defense in the right check. So I would love to play with him. But 49ers, another team I would have loved to play for, not just because the band of characters that they have on defense, because Navarro Bowman, Patrick Willis, Amart Brooks, Alden Smith, Dustin Smith. I would love to play with a front seven like that. You know, real aggressive. You can get downhill and you can smack people in the face. But it's the head coach is the reason I would want to play. Jim Harbaugh and what he brings to the game. And seldom do you see a head coach get as excited as his players. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons both San Francisco and Seattle find themselves back in position to go to the Super Bowl, because those two coaches, Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh, they give their players leeway to do a lot of things, and they create a college-like atmosphere. And working in the NFL, it is a tough gig. You have your ups and your downs, but to know the coach has your back and he makes it a fun family atmosphere, it makes coming to work that much easier.
Sure. Well, Nick, before we let you go, what's your prediction for this weekend? Who's coming away winners?
Well, you know, before the beginning of the season, I picked both the Broncos and Seattle. And I've been waving on that a little bit. In that San Francisco game, I think San Francisco really can go into Seattle and win that game. I really think that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick San Francisco for the upset at home over Seattle.
All right.
And Denver and New England, the battle of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning rages on. So with that said, I know everyone's talking about Peyton Manning and, you know, the fact that he can't win in cold weather and his playoff record being 10-11, hogwash. I like Peyton Manning. I like what he stands for. I like the way that he approached the game. No disrespect towards Tom Brady. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos.
I love it, Nick. And before we go, why don't you tell our listeners about your podcast, Secondary Perspectives?
All right, listeners. Okay, you can check me out every Thursday on VoiceAmerica.com Sports, and that's Nick Ferguson, Secondary Perspective. We like to have a lot of fun on the show, bring a lot of guests on, just kind of liven it up a little bit. Also, you can check out my YouTube channel, and that's Nick A. Ferguson. And basically what I do, I talk sports, pop culture, whatever's happening in the world today. But I just kind of give my little take, my little spin on it. And also, there's a couple of guests I have on, Uncle Lester and my cousin Randall. So please check it out also. And I appreciate you guys for having me on and giving me an opportunity to talk to your audience.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, Nick. We really enjoyed having you on.
Hey, anytime, guys. Anytime. And I held the
girl closer than was safe. Take what you want from me. Well, it was great to have Nick on and talk about the NFL and how things are shaping up. You did hear, though, he said initially Seattle and Denver. That was my prediction at the beginning of the season, too. So
yeah.
We're of like minds now, although he's switched to the 49ers late in the game. But great to have him on and definitely follow him. Great stuff. Well, it's my turn for music, Bobby, and I'm playing a group that we played, I believe it was in season two. You know, when you get to season four, they all blend together.
You don't sound snotty at all with that one.
But the group is Need to Breathe.
Oh, yes. I believe I was the first person to play
No,
yes.
No, you were
yes,
not.
Yes, I was.
It was me.
We can go back to the records.
We go to the archives.
I played The Outsiders. By Need to Breathe was the first track I played by them on this show.
No.
And then you played their new album, which came after the Outsiders album. Yes. Check the files.
I think you're the one on the hydrocodone. I think you're...
Check the files.
They've got a new one coming out this spring, Bobby.
All right.
And this is one of the first songs off of it called The Heart. Ain't no love like the whole world. Got to make a little sunshine and can't waste time when it comes down to dance. Slamming this door with a heavy hand. Signing this line like a deed to land. Keeping in touch with the windows down. Dreading this night as the rain hits the ground. Long live the heart. Long live the soul. That piece you can't find, that part is a hole, and it never lets go. Good song. We had this debate while we were playing that, who played Need to Breathe first on the podcast.
And it turns out it was me. So, JD, we've got our six-pack of questions coming up.
Okay.
We've got you, obviously, are starting off, as we do during this season, this NFL season, we kept it going with NFL picks.
Yep.
And I won this week, and I finished out on top, winning... you cannot beat me anymore, so I am the overall winner in our picks.
This week did not count.
This week totally counted.
Okay. No,
first
listen.
You have that many okays going into an explanation, you know that you're in for a big pile of...
I had a giant litany of medication I was on from post-surgery.
Oh.
As I can't move. I'm hooked up to this machine that is pumping ice water over my shoulder to keep the swelling down of the reattached bicep.
Yeah.
But yet, you're going, well, he didn't get his picks in.
Actually, by the way, Justin Timberlake's Cry Me a River is kind of playing subtly in our background here.
What?
But, JD, who reminded you to get your picks in? I did it last week when you forgot. Last week you had no excuse.
I was prepared last for week, that surgery.
You had no excuse.
All right, all right.
And you forgot the first game. And I texted you,
yep.
Hey, buddy, you missed the first game. Get your picks in. So this week you knew in advance.
Mm.
And you did, and Yahoo even sends you
no,
an
I don't
email.
Get those. I don't.
Anyways. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I
you
don't.
Don't. Anyways.
Because it's signed up to a dummy account. I never checked.
Yeah. Anyways, let's get excuse upon excuse.
We're
and then I texted you again. Hey, you didn't get your pick in. Anyways, I was 4-0.
I don't remember those.
If we just go by Sunday, we'll go by Sunday then, just because I want to make sure you feel comfortable with yourself.
You were 2-0 on Sunday.
You were 1-1. I was 2-0. I win!
So
anyways.
You won Sunday.
So, took a long time to get to this part where you just asked the first damn question, all right?
But we need music, and we're going to start it now. Bobby, which is more surprising? That there will be instant replay in baseball, or that the Cubs named Clark the mascot?
What? There's no surprise in the Cubs making a family-friendly mascot at all. Baseball finally starting to allow more and more instant replay. That's always surprising. They drag their feet on everything.
They
so
do.
To finally pull them into that is more surprising. JD, on Deadspin this past week, they had a great article where it revealed what some of the White Sox players would use as their names when they were checked into hotels. Aliases,
okay.
If you will. What alias would you use if you were checked into a hotel?
Has Ron Mexico been used before?
Oh, I think so. That
has been
so.
Used?
I think there might have been a lawsuit over Ron Mexico.
Wow. I would probably say... either Irwin M. Fletcher.
Mm.
Or
from Fletch, Chevy
yep,
Chase, nice.
Yep. Or I would go with Ted Underhill.
Ted Underhill.
Also from Fletch, put it on the Underhills bill.
Ah, very
so,
good.
Yeah, that's right. Where I go. Bobby, are you Springsteened out? And I say this because his new album came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on Jimmy Fallon. His
great appearance
song,
on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, yeah, it was good. Songs of his are like on... you know,
oh my
primetime
gosh.
Shows.
Every show right now.
Yep.
Right?
iTunes, it's hard to even click on iTunes without seeing Springsteen.
Yeah.
Has anyone, are you Springsteened out already?
It's a lot of publicity for an album that's not really new. Most of the tracks are older tracks that he's either released in some form or has released in like a live form but never in studio or have demos. So I don't understand why all the publicity for something that's kind of a B-sides release.
Yeah, I don't get it.
But I like the stuff. I'm glad he's working with Tom Morello. That's the best part of the album is listening to the guitar work,
yep.
Not Springsteen's vocals. But no, I'm not Springsteened out yet. JD, who made Omaha more famous? Peyton Manning or the Counting Crows?
Wow. I was going to have an Omaha question for you on my last one, too. You know... at this moment, I would have to go with Peyton Manning. But if I'm Omaha Steaks, I'm signing him up.
Yeah.
I'm signing him up for a deal right this minute. Because, wow. I'm getting...
maybe that's what he wanted all along. Maybe he's like, these are some good steaks. How do I... I'm going to use Omaha.
Omaha! 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 Bobby, are you nervous for the Broncos game?
Absolutely, I'm nervous for every Broncos game. And it's against the Patriots. There's so much on the line. And I looked at the Broncos free agents after this year. Wow, are we in trouble. Like, this was our year. We built for this year because there's so many great players that we're probably not going to be able to re-sign after this year. So this was it. So yes, I'm absolutely nervous, but I'm nervous for every game. I really... hope we win this one, JD. I'm really nervous. All right, last question for you, JD. Jim Harbaugh's wife appeared on California radio and talked about the clothing, how the pants that he
yes.
wears, she doesn't approve. She, in fact, threw them out. And then while he was on a, when he was going to see one of like the Shrine games or the college football games, he bought a pair for like $8 at Walmart, and that's how he's getting them. Is there any clothing that you have currently in your closet that your wife just wants to throw in the garbage?
Oh, I'm sure there's a ton of clothing I have that she'd want to get rid of. Because I got a lot of old stuff, old like stuff from college. And she's like, really?
Do you
really?
Need this?
Yeah. I have some suits. And I've got a lot of suits. And some of them, she's just like, you're not going to wear that again. I'm like, wait a second. Okay, it's green. And it's got really baggy pants. I'm like,
but it was great when I bought it. When did you get this? And then the conversation ends. So, you know, I think if she had her way, she'd probably get rid of those suits that I keep hanging on.
How many of those are there?
There's a few.
There's a few?
There's a few, that is for
more
sure.
More than five?
That's probably in the ballpark.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I need new suits.
All right.
So, all right, when we come back, we have Last Call, One Stop Away.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world.
Bobby, my Last Call, One Stop Away story is from Mexico City.
Okay.
And police in Mexico City said a drunk driving suspect stopped at an alcohol checkpoint, was betrayed by their friend. This person, Guillermo Reyes, 49, was pulled over last week at a routine checkpoint in the city, and officers heard a voice in the car repeating, "He's drunk. He's drunk."
Not a good friend to be driving with.
No. And what's almost worse with this is that friend was a parrot. His pet parrot saying he's drunk. Police said they looked inside expecting to find another person. They saw the pet parrot. Now, the dude failed a sobriety test and was arrested on drunken driving charge. And the parrot was supposedly to be taken away by animal surveillance brigade officers. But Reyes told him the bird is with him at all times and could suffer stress if separated. So they both went to the drunk tank.
All right.
The bird and the dude. But yeah, this is a smart bird.
It's not man's best friend. It's going to sell you out.
Exactly.
JD, mine comes courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet Mid-Atlantic. Now, the Cubs just launched a new mascot.
Yep, Clark.
Clark the Cub, as you asked me about during the six-pack. Now, Deadspin asked their readers to basically make up any mocks of Clark the Cub that they could, and Deadspin started by showing Clark with full genitalia.
Oh, man.
And unfortunately, Comcast pulled that image and aired that on theirs as talking about Clark the Cub. It took them about 9 seconds for them to realize
it was live air.
They realized it was the gag image, and they finally pulled it off. But it Clark the Cub and
family friendly, and they were talking how family friendly he is.
Clark and his cubs were on on full display.
Oh my gosh!
So a bear with no pants,
yeah,
on full display on Comcast.
Well, and that's what the Cubs hold for: two balls, no strikes.
Hey, you can get that every week here on the podcast.
Well, thank you again for Nick for being on the podcast
and
talking football with us. And it's a great start to season four.
That's right. Go Broncos. We'll see you next week.
Okay. No.
When
listen.
You have that many.